Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In our last discussion on what happens after death, we explained that the hadith tells us three things follow you to the graveyard: your family, your wealth, and your actions. Your family and your wealth will have to return. They can't accompany you into the grave. But the only permitted luggage for the trip to Barzakh will be your actions. And it is your actions that will keep you company in the grave. And it's your actions that will protect you, your good actions, against punishment. Ultimately, it is Allah who will make your stay in Barzakh a pleasant one, if you meet the criteria. Inna Allah ma'al ladina attaqaw wal ladina hum muhsinun. Allah says, I am with those. Allah is with those who are Allah conscious, taqwa, and they do good deeds. It is mentioned that when a man enters his grave, everything that he feared in the world other than Allah will appear before him, frightening him in his grave, since he feared them instead of Allah. So the true people of La ilaha illallah, according to the narration of Ibn Umar, the true believers, Allah will make their stay in Barzakh and in the grave very pleasant. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will be with them. They will be in a pleasant state. And he mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is as though I see the people of La ilaha illallah dusting off the soil from their heads, saying, praise be to Allah, adhaba anna al-hazan, who has removed all sadness from us, in the words of the Quran, meaning Allah has been with us throughout this journey of Barzakh and now into the Akhirah, and Allah has made everything very pleasant for us. We concluded the last discussion by saying every person who has passed on will have one regret, and that is that I should have done more good deeds. For the unbeliever, for the impious, the regret will be greater, and they also regret their sins, which they can't get rid of now. But even for the believer and the pious person who's been given the glad tidings of Jannah, now when they see the rewards, they will wish that they did more good deeds. That's why in one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that two simple rakats of salam, which you consider insignificant or you consider extra or surplus for a person who's in the grave, it's more valuable than the whole world and whatever it contains. Now, we come to a statement of Dawud Ta'i when he was accompanying a janazah, and he said something. Know that all of the people of the earth are actually inhabitants of the grave. Know that all of the people of the earth are actually inhabitants of the grave. They will only be pleased with what they have sent forth, and they will feel remorse over what they leave behind. What the inhabitants of the grave now regret, the people of the world fight for and aspire to, even taking legal action with the judge to acquire it. You know, the things that the people in the grave are regretting, you in this world, you are fighting about it. Now, there's a question that will the deceased be allowed to do acts of ibadah in the grave? On the one hand, we are told that when your life on this world comes to an end, then no salah, no zakah, no hajj. But will it be permissible for you to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the grave? The answer is a bit of a yes and no. No in terms of worshipping Allah in such a way that you secure reward. There's no reward in the grave. The place of reward and amal is this world. Yes, for those who are really devout worshippers of Allah, they don't only worship Allah in this world because of reward. They worship Allah because of the enjoyment that they get from it. They worship Allah because it is the right of Allah to be worshipped. And such people will want to worship Allah in the grave as well. And Allah will in specific instances give them permission. There's a narration of Tirmidhi that one of the Sahaba put up a tent on a grave, not knowing that there was a grave there. And then he heard at night that from inside the grave, someone was reciting Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. So that's ibadah, reciting Quran. And he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he narrated to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Nabi of Allah said, yes, it is the protector, it is the savior who will deliver its reciter from the punishment of the grave. Now, this was not only in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are various incidents. For example, Abu Bakr al-Khalal says that Hammad the grave digger said, one day or one Friday, as I made my way to the graveyard, I had not yet arrived at the grave when I heard the recitation of the Quran. When the hadith master Abu al-Ala al-Hamdani passed away, he was seen in a dream where he was in a city with walls filled with books. He was asked about that, so he replied, I asked Allah to keep me occupied with knowledge, just as I was preoccupied with it in the world. So now I'm busy seeking knowledge in my grave. The hadith master Abdul Qadir al-Rahawi was seen in a dream listening to hadith, and he said, I will continue to listen to hadith until the day of Qiyamah. So Allah permits for some in the grave to continue with ibadah and worship, not to secure reward. That is now gone. That opportunity is gone. But because they were passionate about ibadah and worship in this world, and they want to continue with it in the after. There's the famous hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he passed by the grave of Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, he saw that Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam was performing salah in the grave. And this is not only specific to the Anbiya, as we can see from these incidents which I've just narrated. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and understanding. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.